All rise. All respect the bell. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the last segment on a Wednesday for Crunch Time, which means it is the Crunch Exchange. I bring up a prospectus from the world of sports, I being Nick. Hi. And Steve over there tells us if he is buying or selling. We begin. Michael Thomas is a very talented wide receiver, but it's quite unfortunate that he plays for the worst franchise in the NFL in the New Orleans Saints. But hey, you know, plenty of good players want to play for bad teams, and it works out just fine for them. Thomas got an extension this morning that is 5 years, $100 million, 61 of those guaranteed. This is after 3 years in the NFL where he had 321 receptions, 3,787 yards, 23 touchdowns in 47 games. He's been compared a lot to Julio Jones because Julio is one of the most dominant receivers in the NFL for his first 3 years as well, but didn't get a contract extension until his fourth year. Julio's extension was 5 years, $71.3 million. Julio getting to the end of that contract now with 2 years remaining, and the Don, Arthur Brank, has promised that Julio will be taken care of in a very good way and will be properly compensated. Thomas's $100 million is 10 more than the Giants gave Odell, and when the two of them were both 26 when they got these extensions, so the market has just been reset for young wide receivers, but it has it also for older, more proven ones like Julio Jones. The prospectus, Julio Jones will get more money than Michael Thomas.
Oof. Thomas is 25. Julio's older than that.
30.
Yeah. It's not a matter of who's had or who will go down as a better NFL receiver. I think it's about logic and the fact that New Orleans knows that considering Drew Brees played in the 2001 Rose Bowl, his window is shrinking. So I'm going to sell that.
Fair enough. Plenty of big moves happening today at the deadline, but the biggest one happened last night. Well, I guess I wrote this before the Zach Greinke trade. So one of the bigger ones happening last night was Trevor Bauer was sent from the Cleveland Indians to Cincinnati Reds for Yasiel Puig, and the Padres were also involved in all of this somehow. The Indians didn't do much in the offseason, and it hurt them as they fell pretty far behind the race for the AL Central. They've worked themselves back now to 3 games in the division and have a 2-game lead to host the wild card game. Cleveland has been dealing with plenty of injuries this year, but the exception of Bauer, who was leading the team in innings pitched. Now Corey Kluber is set to return from his forearm injury sometime in August. Danny Salazar will be activated tomorrow, and Zach Plesac, in the meantime, has had a pretty serviceable 3.1 ERA. The Indians get their bat, and they don't have to deal with Bauer anymore, so that's a win-win for them. And Cleveland is chasing Minnesota, who didn't add much at the deadline other than 2012 World Series-ending closer Sergio Romo. And people forget he struck out Triple Crown-winning Miguel Cabrera looking with a fastball. That was Romo's third-best pitch. They also added Sam Dyson again after I wrote this. The race has become quietly close. The prospectus, the Windians, fueled by some fresh Puig, win the AL Central.
I'm not in love with that move. Pitching. I'm going to sell that.
Ooh. Alrighty then. The race for the NL East is also very interesting as the Phillies have started to load up. Going back to the Jay Bruce trade, the Phillies have added Brad Miller, Corey Dickerson, Drew Smyly, Jason Vargas, Blake Parker, Jose Perella, and Mike Morin. Most of those names are pretty unknown even to me, but it's showing that the Phillies are desperate to not look like fools after throwing a ton of cash at Bryce Harper and then missing the playoffs the same year. They're going all in on October baseball, even if it just means that play-in game. The Nationals went all in on fixing their bullpen, adding relievers Daniel Hudson from the Blue Jays, Rowan Salinas, and Hunter Strickland from the Mariners. Also not wanting to be caught are the Braves, who added Tigers reliever Shane Green as well as Mark Melancon to bolster the back end of their bullpens. So the race is shaping up with Atlanta up 5.5 on Washington, up 6 on Philly, with the Phils tied with the Cubs in what would lead to a play-in game to be the visitor in the play-in game. The prospectus, because of all of their moves, the Phillies will make the playoffs. Play-in game counts. Play-in game to a play-in game, I'm going to say, doesn't count.
I don't think they did enough standing pat. I don't think they'll catch Atlanta, who I like what they did to bolster their bullpen. Washington, I just think, has a better rotation. And I think year one, Bryce Harper ends up with them as postseason spectators. Ooh. Sell it.
so close. The trade deadline was DOA at 1 p.m. specific time. There were 14 trades, according to Carl Ravitch of ESPN, who I trust can count better than I can. And then all hell broke loose. The Giants became sellers, getting rid of Sam Dayson. They were also buyers when they added Scooter Gennett for some reason. I mean, sure. But the biggest shock by far was the Astros landing Zach Greinke from the Diamondbacks. I typed that wrong. The Astros starting rotation is now Verlander with a .81 whip, Gerrit Cole an even one, and Greinke with the former NL leading .94 whip as well. It was already going to be tough to beat the Astros in a best of five or seven, knowing that basically four starts were going to be Cole and Verlander. Now you're giving these guys more rest between starts, trusting better arms, and Greinke's only going to get better with that Houston coaching staff. Just see what Verlander did in 2017 after being traded. The prospectus, the Astros win the American League pennant.
Oof. You know, there's a big difference between saying, are they the favorite? Baseball has a tendency, sure isn't like the NBA. The best teams in the NBA, they get in the playoffs and they're healthy. They just win it. The Astros, well, I'll play the odds here. Man, they look like they are now, if not head and shoulders above everybody, a head above everybody.
Head and neck.
I will buy the Astros as the American League champions.
While there were plenty of teams making moves that stayed quiet were the most, the teams that didn't make any and stayed quiet were the most interesting. The Mets were thought to be wanting to move Noah Syndergaard, even moving up his start so that he wouldn't be traded today, messing up their rotation, but who cares? They're 11 back and it's the Mets. The Giants were also, up until a month ago, were going to be moving Madison Bumgarner. He stayed in San Francisco. The Gigantes did move Drew Pomeranz, who in all of 2 weeks went from a failed starter to like third or second best K per nine in the Giants bullpen. Will Smith, a perfect reliever who was worth his weight in prospects, also stayed. The Giants are 2.5 back of the wild card, and that seemed that this hot month was more than just a fun streak, but signs of things to come. Well, they got one good infield prospect in Mauricio Dubon. They could have gotten much more had they moved Smith, but hey, I'm here for the push to October, so let's go Giants. As for the Mets and their not moves, who knows what's going on? They wanted to use Stroman as more or less of a Thor replacement and use the prospects they got back from the Wheeler-Syndergaard trades to reload on the fly rather than a rebuild, but here they are with all of these pitchers and down prospects at the end of everything, but man, I guess next year might be fun. The prospectus, the Giants and Mets were bright to both not sell their best players at the deadline.
Buy that. I was against that from the get-go. Syndergaard and Bumgarner don't come along all that often. And what they could have gotten in return, unless somebody was just like, I must have that guy, and you're going to give up three top prospects and like a starter.
I would love to hear what some of these deals that like teams were rejecting at this point, because Greinke basically went for four prospects and then just like a little bit of money. So the Astros are still paying off like a good portion of that contract. And it just, I cannot wait to hear all the details of things that pop out over the next couple of months or into the offseason about, you know, players that were offered and who said no and what the prospects became and who did what in October. Ooh, today just got very fun for baseball.
Amazing. And it was just like, just wait. No, just wait. No, just wait. It's like when the scene in Trading Places, when Eddie Murphy was telling the Duke brothers, nah, wait a little bit more. The you need to save money. That father wants to buy his son the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip. And they're starting to panic now. I could feel it. And then all of a sudden at 12:58, let her rip. Trade him. I need him. I want that guy. Get rid of this guy. We want prospects for him. And our bullpen's better. Go!